Today, we're talking with Kim Roxy, founder of Lamique Beauty. Kim had a lot to share with us about her journey, from taking big risks and betting on yourself to finding the right collaborators to help you learn new skills. I hope you'll find something here to support you on your journey as Kim tells us what she'd share from where she is today. Welcome to I'd Tell Myself, where we dive into the individual journeys people have taken to professional success and share some of the lessons that they've learned along the way. I'm your host, Danielle Frankel. I've long believed that there are many ways to learn the important lessons in life. And while some lessons are only gained through personal experience, others can be learned less painfully from those ahead of us on their own journey. I hope you'll find something here to support you as we ask these individuals what they tell themselves from where they now sit. Welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hi there.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear more about your story and how you got to where you are. As always, we're going to kick it off with a few fast facts. So would you like to introduce yourself, your business? Tell us a bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Kim Roxy, K-I-M-R-O-X-I-E, and I am the founder and CEO of Lamique Beauty. Lamique is actually an acronym as well that stands for love and makeup and kindness, because I believe that love and kindness is what you're truly made of. It's your makeup. And the fact that beauty is revealed, not applied. So Lamique is an inclusive beauty brand, even based on that statement. It lets everyone know that they're safe here within the brand. And we put a lot of work into how we make our products. So we bring what we call clean ingredients. We bring science together to create our brand. And we make it here in Houston, Texas. I'm just on a mission to bring more equity to the beauty industry, because it's a place where the underrepresented are overspending and not getting the type of products and attention and love, quite frankly, that they should be getting from the industry.
That's amazing. I love what you're pointing to about beauty is revealed, not applied, right? It's such a different take on all of the messaging that we get, I know that I got from the industry as a whole growing up. And yeah, I admittedly was not aware until the last few years with the launch of some of the, some of the really big, more inclusive brands that have popped up, that it was such an issue. But it, equity and representation across makeup is wildly imbalanced.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did you get into this? Is this what you always wanted to do?
It depends on where the decisions are made. At what age do you think decisions are made? So for me, I opened up my own makeup shop when I was 21 years old in the mall in Houston. Okay. So to some, in your 20s, you're still like making decisions, like you're still experimenting. It just depends. It's been 20 years. That was 2004. It's 2024. And I'm still a full-time beauty entrepreneur. Now I have the product line and doing all of that. But I have been a full-time entrepreneur for the past 20 years. And It started when I was 21. So I hadn't had another like corporate job or done anything like that in college to help pay for school and to pay my rent and my car note and all the things. I worked at a makeup counter that hired me to be a salesperson at the counter. And I had never worked on anybody's face before in my life. I didn't have like previous practice. This was like the first go. And I remember I was a sophomore in college and I applied and I did not think these people were going to hire me, but they did. But I ended up becoming like the top sales producer. And my manager of my store came to me and she said, "What are you telling these women? And why are they?" And she was so frustrated because she was always like the queen bee of sales at the store. And so she was like, "What are you telling these women? Like, what are you doing?" And I was like, "You know what? I really like making women feel good about themselves." And she was like, "You don't even do makeup that good." And I was like, "I know, but I'm selling more than you." And so the point was that I didn't do makeup that good, seriously. But I listened to women. I complimented them. I told them the truth of what I saw. I didn't hold back. I see a woman, I tell exactly what I thought about her and said all of those good things to her that I saw. And it just, created this love for women that I have. And that's what really got me to stick to the beauty industry, because I care less about the makeup itself. My mom loved makeup. She cared a lot about the products. My mom loved makeup, never left the house without her makeup on. I really wasn't that person. I really just loved making women feel good about themselves. And I saw how happy my mom was with it and everything. But that's kind of where my foundation kind of comes from in regards to that. And now I've just been on this path that now I'm turning back. I really just started reflecting the end of last year. Like, oh wow, 20 years creating your own job, your own work, your own space. Wow, Kim, wow. I had to turn around and say, you a bad chick. I really did.
That's awesome. I love it. And it's so true. That's a really hard thing to do. People struggle with it and, succeed and fail on and off all the time. But that is an awesome track record. So let me dive into that a little bit more if I can. So you started off with this, sounds like this delightfully charming coworker who really wanted to see you succeed. Yeah, no, sorry, that sounds terrible. But you started off with this beauty counter. You ended up being like the top salesperson. Sounds like there were a lot of women who really appreciated, what you were able to do with them, whether you were good at doing their makeup or not. How'd you go from that to opening your own shop, like you said, in the mall?
Yeah, I went from working at that makeup counter to starting to save up my money, and my mom gave me $500, and I opened up a makeup shop in my hometown. That same manager of that store was the one who encouraged me to do it. She said, over the years, she's like, you're just so good at this. You should figure out how to do this on your own, because I was crying to her about the fact that I didn't have a job lined up after college. And what was I going to do? Because I couldn't tell my parents I didn't have a job after coming to school and going through all of the things that you have to go through to be, 12 hours away from home going to a college. And so she was the one actually who went back and encouraged me. And it was like,
Wow.
you should do this on your own. And so, it started with me saving up money. It started with me just believing that I could and taking a chance on that and going to go think about where it should be, where I felt like I could get customers. And so I had pinpointed this mall that was in an area that gets a lot of diverse sort of community of everybody goes to this mall pretty much, but it was a little bit more urban. So I felt like as a young person, I just felt like, yeah, this is probably where I need to be. And I grew up kind of going to this particular mall. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do it there. Had that planned out. Okay, I need to order these things for that. At most makeup places, they had like makeup counters. And so I went to a display store where they sold those, and I found out how much those were. And I had just like calculated all of that. When I opened up the store, I was absolutely $0 in the bank. Like, seriously, like that was it. Like, I didn't calculate. I thought the budget was just to open up the store and the cost that it took. I didn't realize, oh, you should have 3 months rent or 6 months rent or whatever. You're like, runway. They call it runway now, right? So you have that much runway and all that. I didn't have any runway. I had this it. Like, if this don't go this much. So I remember raising up the gate at my store back, and being like, all right, I'm open. And I look around and I'm like 10 minutes passed by, 15 minutes, nobody's passing by the front of my store. I'm like, I'm open. Like, what, where's everybody? And nope, nobody. So then I was like, after about 30 minutes or so, hours, like, okay, I can't, this not gonna work. This not gonna help me to pay the rent for the next time. And so I went down to the food court because it was nobody where my store was. It was like another abandoned store away. And that's a whole nother reason why they even put me in that location, because they thought I was going to fail anyway. So they were like, just put her over there. It's abandoned stores over there. We don't have to worry about it. So when she closes, it's no big deal. But I went down to the food court. I would strike up a conversation with a woman, and then I would walk her down to my store. I would talk about her day at work, whatever it was, get her down to my store, start doing her makeup. She gonna pay for something. That's how I went. That's how I started. Did eyebrows, something like that's how I started. I started from one at a time, bringing people from the food court to my store because I had absolutely no customers. And by the end of that month, I had enough to pay my rent, right? And so then went to the next month. And so that's how I literally built my business.
That's amazing. I love that. And this is, you said this is 2004, right?
Yeah, this is 2004. This is
So this
2000.
is like pre-Facebook. It's not like you can go on and tell your network, like, hey guys, I just started a business. Come see me.
No. It was nothing like that. It was nothing like that. Now, when we launched the product line in 2020, but that was at the same time as the pandemic. So think about the parallel to that, though. Two different times, more advancement on the technology side, but in life, how they say it's nothing new under the same sun, same situation though. The situation was March 2020, we launched with just the product line itself, but we couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go get a customer. I couldn't go do a pop-up or, a big extravagant opening event or anything like that. Like I could not do that. And this time, because we did have social media, I turned on my Facebook and I started a live shopping show on Facebook on a Friday night. And that's how I started to garner my customers. And I still do the show every Friday night. And that's how I started to garner my customers. And I sold makeup from my daughter's bedroom on this live Facebook show. Two different situations where I was like, I'm open because I had my website, and I was like, I got a website. But who's coming to your website? Like, how do you draw traffic? And I started doing that Facebook show. And then it went on from there.
We will put the link to that Facebook show if you're still doing it in the show notes for sure, in case anybody wants to check it out.
But same situation, just two different years, two different points in time and the way the world evolved, but still same type of situation. And I think that's the part that you tell yourself certain things. Sometimes we look at the exterior or the external forces, like, oh, now we have this, and but it's still the same actual situation in regards to how it makes you feel. You feel like, oh, what do I do now? I've done all of the things to be ready, to be prepared. But then what is the out of the box? What are the things I need to be looking at to then be able to look for my strategy or my way out or my opportunity? And those are the things that we have to do no matter what the situation is, because a lot of times different scenario, but same situation.
Yeah, same core problem. Different way to solve for it, but same core problem, right? We opened a shop. How do we get people in the door? How do we get them to like our try and like our product and buy it? It sounds like one of your gifts is definitely the way that you connect with people, the way that you work with people, whether that's at the beauty counter, at the food court, through social media. Like it sounds like that's a gift that's really worked in your favor and all of the entrepreneurship pathways that you've taken.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is something that just enjoy folks. No expectations. Just enjoy people.
You enjoy people. That's awesome. Okay, so let's keep like traveling down the path, right? So you started the shop, you found your people in the food court, they started to come to the store. I have no doubt that you built quite a reputation, right? Like people felt good when they came to see you. They told their friends to come see you. Their friends told their friends, told their sisters and aunts and everything, right? Everybody came in. How long was the shop open? What was that experience like?
Yeah, so that shop ended up, we were in a mall, and that mall, malls went through a really rough time, and really that was a part of that initial like memorialization of malls, 2008, 2009, and then it just sort of hit like a decline from there. But that mall actually went into bankruptcy, and so everybody had to leave pretty much. And so I went and found a freestanding location that I could go inside of. And I was super scared because I was like, when I was in the mall, it was people in the food court I can go get. It was people around. Like now, I've got to get people to, like, my place would have to be like a destination. There's no other pretty much shops around. I just had to be there like an island. I was so scared. But I had clientele, and I didn't have, again, another job lined up. So I had to like try to make it happen. And it ended up staying open another 10 years. So altogether, I had my location for 14 years. And in 2018, I decided to close it to really concentrate and launch. Lamique, the brand, the makeup brand. And because 75% of beauty products marketed to women of color are toxic, I was tired of seeing toxic images of what beauty is supposed to look like. I was going through something. I was diagnosed with a form of alopecia, caused hair loss on my scalp and on my eyebrows. And I was sort of wrestling with my own image and things like that. And I was just like, yeah, there's a transformation that needs to happen. And so I closed the store so I could go on that journey to reveal what that was, because I wasn't really sure how to do this. I know I wanted my brand to launch nationally, so it had to be on it had to be e-commerce. I didn't know how to do that. And so I went out to Austin, Texas, got accepted into a pre-accelerator, then I got accepted to a venture capital backed tech accelerator, went through that, and then was ready to launch for 2020. And by the end of 2020, I was doing a national beauty pitch competition to get Lamique on Ulta.com. And we won first place, and we became the first Black-owned clean makeup brand to launch onto Ulta.com.
That's amazing. There's
Yeah.
so much in there. Okay. So that's amazing. Congratulations on that win. That's
Thank
really
you.
exciting. That was what a great way to launch. But that's a 6-year window, right? From when you closed the store and as you went through the pre-accelerator and the venture back group and then actually launched the brand in 2020. Is that right? What was that window of time like for you? As you, like you said, right? You knew that you wanted something to launch nationally. You weren't quite sure how it was going to work. Like the experience of going through, I'm sure it was like a lot of different trial and error, a lot of different learning, hopefully some good mentors in there.
Sure. Yeah, so it's like a 2-year window for like the transformation from having a makeup shop to having this national makeup brand. And it's been 6 years now since it happened. And I would say that during those 2 years of that time, heck yeah, I was like a sponge soaking everything up. I wanted to learn, I wanted to engage myself, I wanted to, I quit everything I knew to learn. And so I really just kind of iced everything I knew. I remember just being like, when I would think about stuff like, I think I know, I was like, oh no, like it's not about what you know. It's like about being open to new things. And so yes, definitely. I went through some different programs. I went through SKU. I went through a couple different things programming wise of organizations and Founders First. And I could just like name different things, Black Girl Ventures and Hello Alice. I just engaged myself, New Voices Family, like seriously, like a list of just ways to engage myself with resources and communities that were going to help build and be an anchor for me as a business owner, but then also for my company. And so those different organizations that I just named were pivotal in different ways to be able to give me resources, to be able to help assist and sort of even give me a platform for Lamique. And so that's what I did during that time. I love to say I abandoned what I knew to go learn and to get that. And I think, it had nothing to do with any previous success I've had or anything like that. I knew that I was taking my company somewhere else and that I had to get the tools to be able to do that. I even did a rewards-based crowdfunding campaign with iFund Women in 2019 to raise funding for our launch in 2020. And we raised like $50,000 in 2 months. And then I ended up becoming an American Express 100 for 100 female founder. And then we got a $25,000 grant from them. And then right before we launched with Ulta, with the US Black Chamber Foundation, American Express, we got another $25,000 grant from them. And so I just engaged myself in community with different places that were doing giving resources and being of assistance to me as a business owner. And that had a lot to do with us getting to the point where we are now.
I love what you're saying about finding all these resources. I mean, it sounds like you literally made it your job to go learn all the things that you knew you didn't know. You knew you didn't know that you would need to know, right? And to uncover all the things that you didn't even know you might need to know. But it also sounds like you didn't just seek out business knowledge. It sounds like you really sought out community and support. in the process.
Absolutely. I didn't want to be on the journey alone. Entrepreneurship can be very isolating. And a lot of times you can sort of like give into that by trying to do it all on your own and this and that. And yeah, I was like, yeah, I can't, I'm not going to do that. Because for my own mental health, because I had the experience of being an entrepreneur from 2004, right? I have a lot of those emotions, and a lot of times you start to have a little emotional intelligence around different things. And so I just knew that, yeah, being in a community is much better, even with the customers, letting them know what's going on, making them very aware. It's not a secret. It's being transparent, being communicative, taking them on the journey and the process. Everybody won't be able to be an entrepreneur. Everybody won't have the opportunity to spend time making a brand, building a brand, creating a brand, but they can be a part of one. They could be working in healthcare, a nurse practitioner, anything. And literally, I hear it all the time, they're part of LAMIQ community, customer, whatever. And they feel like they're right on this journey with us every time, paying attention, knowing what's going on, all of those things. So sometimes you never know what place people find themselves in your story. And so giving people that opportunity. And in my case, I give my customers and community and stakeholders opportunity to be the hero in it all. I'm like, come on board, help us out, be the hero in this. And so, yeah, that's how I look at it.
It's great to hear the idea that they are a part of your story. You know, as you were talking about these incredible experiences you had and the awards that you guys won, you referenced we, right? So one of my questions for you was actually, right, you started out on this journey. You knew that you wanted to create this safer, non-toxic brand of beauty that was more equitably available. As you found these organizations that would help to teach you some of what you needed to know and build community, I imagine you also had to find some partners to build the brand with.
Yeah, absolutely. And partners in regards to team members, definitely. Partners in regards to retail outlets. So, like, we have independent beauty retailers that carry us. We also have large major retailers that carry us. Partners in regards to our website, we Shopify, like partners in regards to our email marketing, our SMS, like all of these are different partners. To be able to get, yeah, the product to the end user.
Yeah, so you had this vision for what you wanted to create and you found the resources to make it happen. How did you decide who to bring really deeply on board with you? Like the people who are at the core of building this with you. How
Yeah.
did you figure out who to partner with to make the makeup in the first place, right? Those sorts of things.
Yeah, so we are still on the journey of getting resources, fundraising, and all that is actually at the front part of our brain right now. We're working on an equity crowdfunding raise. So we, as far as partners to help to build this brand and create it, my chemist is formerly Estée Lauder, and we work together in regards to creating and he manufactures a product in a cosmetic facility right here in Houston. My team, I look for folks who feel aligned and are attracted to the vision of the company. And so last year, we got two new team members that feel like they've been with us the whole 4 years. And then one of my other team members, who's like my right hand, she's been with me since like April of 2020, right after we launched. And then our community manager, yep, she's been with me since we launched, who manages our Ladies Who LAMIQ group on Facebook. And then, I could think of other people within our partner range of building the brand that have been with us since the beginning. So we just look for people who are attracted to this mission, who feel compelled. I kind of go off of referrals a lot of times when it comes to like team and stuff like that, but especially because we still have a very lean team. As we grow and expand, we'll recruit in other ways. But I know that the people that are on the team right now really believe in LAMIQ, and it shows the dedication. Yeah, it just shows.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have people on board who are align with your vision and not just there for the paycheck, it makes a difference.
Huge.
So one of the areas that I, you know, focus on, and so I try to make sure that I ask my guests whenever I can, is around management and leadership. And you've had this really interesting collection of entrepreneurial experiences where you haven't had to work for that many people, aside from that one interesting person, woman at the beauty counter, sounds like. But I imagine in running your store and setting up this business and launching everything that you had to launch to get to the point where you're a notable brand, right? You've had to hire a bunch of people, you've had to manage a bunch of work, you're in a leadership position. This is your company. How did you learn to do that kind of stuff? How did you learn to manage and lead?
By watching others, by having mentors in my head. And I watch, and I would pay attention to my managers that I had, even when I worked at the grocery store. A manager I had when I worked at a daycare in high school, a private school in high school, the managers that I had when I worked at the makeup counter. I paid attention right then. I learned leadership from my parents, paying attention to the way that they handle things and handle people and that kind of thing. And then I read books and now like listen to podcasts and have mentors in my life, like Kathy Hughes, founder of Radio One, but like Yolanda Adams, who's a Grammy Award winning singer, but she was also my third grade teacher. And
wow.
Yeah, and looking at the way that she leads. And I just had different, you know, different opportunities to observe. And then also I've had executive coaching and things like that as well. So different things along the journey. And I believe that you can learn from so-called negative, also the positive. You learn what you should do based on what somebody does and also what you shouldn't do based on what people do. Or also into like empathy around leadership as well, because I just feel like we're whole people and I'm really interested in the whole person. And so I probably lead more from like a church pastor kind of way than like, you know, just in regards to like that care and particular love and, you know, just reminding people that all things work together for good. I have a relationship with or cordial with anyone that pretty much I work with. I like to always transition a relationship, even if we're not working together anymore, transition a relationship into the next phase of that relationship. And also I learned, don't run away from hard conversations because you don't know what good can come out of them. It's something about being accountable and facing those things. I've learned from the school of hard knocks. I mean, I haven't done everything right and still don't continue to do everything right. I'm always self-directing, or for me, spiritually being guided by God in different ways to be able to answer or do things the right way. But I do believe that leadership can be effectively done with observation and your willingness to be agile. And so I have a good time always learning about different leadership skills, different leadership styles. I talked about being, you know, empathetic around different things and have empathy towards things because, well, I deal with humanity, number one, and we're in a personal care business. And so when you think about that personal care, so I take that like real serious in regards to like our role in people's lives.
Yeah, sounds like it's not just how you think about your customers, but how you think about the people who work with you and for you.
Yeah, they work with me.
Yeah. I know that one of the things about entrepreneurship is that you learn from your mistakes as well. And you mentioned, like you just said, right, that there are plenty of mistakes that you made. I love to hear from people, you know, is there a mistake that you can point to that you're willing to share with us where you've taken away a really important lesson, where that mistake was unfortunate, but paid great dividends in having done it?
Yeah, I'd say that I always look at that word as more like the missed takes, you know, like what did you miss taking away? I don't look at mistakes as I tried to do something and I didn't do it well enough for other people's approval or whatever the case might be. And it was a mistake. I was kicked out of high school. What I did to get kicked out of high school, it really wasn't anything of potential like malice, but I got kicked out. It was looked at as a mistake, right? I made a mistake. But then when I looked at it, Like now, in retrospect, me being kicked out of high school defined everything about me as a person and reason why I was able to develop so young. The reason why I was able to open up a store at 21 was because I got kicked out of high school at 16. So that is because that was the place that I was like, okay, you see how you feel right now? You see how nobody cares about you or what that feeling's like? You see how everybody just turned on you. You thought you had all these friends and all this stuff. You see how that works? So I figured out, oh, you got to be self. You got to be self-motivated. You got to be self-aware, like all of those things. And I have to trust in God. I can't lean on all this other stuff. And so that's where I got that from. And I really hit a rock bottom point where all of that came up in me. And so I just believe that all things work together for good. So I share with you something that everybody looked at as a mistake. And I used to always say that, but now I couldn't imagine my life not being kicked out of high school now because I would have probably just went along with the get along. And that was like a clear moment where I had to stop and really just take on a new understanding and get sort of like this reality check. So, and that wouldn't have happened without that, for this next thing to happen, for those things to go together, for that puzzle to be put together. That's how I kind of look at that.
Oh, sounds like a really life-defining experience. I have to ask, how did you go from getting kicked out of high school at 16 to finishing college? Because that's quite the feat.
Yeah, you just go from being upset and starting to have a chip on your shoulder, and then you use it as your momentum to drive you to start to handle your business. And I had amazing parents who never gave up on me, never made me feel like I was like the way I felt on the inside. They didn't make me feel like even what people were saying about me. They called us at risk. They told us that we probably were never going to be accepted into a reputable college. And I applied for college anyway, because one of the teachers at the alternative school said to me, you seem so upset. You always got you got an attitude saying you don't belong here. She's like, write down your 1 year goal and your 5 year goal. And that 1 year goal was to be accepted into my dream school, Clark Atlanta University, and in Atlanta, Georgia. And my 5 year goal was just, I just want to be successful. For that to happen, 1 year, be accepted into my dream school, Clark Atlanta University, even though I was told by naysayers that I was not going to be accepted into college. And then 5 years opening up that makeup shop, that then that alternative school. And a lot of times when I tell this story, people are like, what? That alternative school, they didn't know I went there. They had sent a letter to my store in the mall asking whoever is the manager, what have you, to come to their career day. And I didn't even know it was alternative school. I just was like RSVPing for this career day. Like, I'm gonna go. It's my first career day. I'm like 22 years old. I'm like excited. And it was the alternative school. And I was like, wait, what's going on here? Like, what's going on here? And so they were like, well, thank you for coming, this and that. We're gonna take you around each classroom. They're telling us about the metal detectors. They're telling us about the rules of the school. And I was like, oh, I know the rules of the school. Like, and they were like, how? And I was like, I went here. And they were like, what? And so they never had anybody come to the career day who actually sat in the seats of the students.
What an amazing full circle moment.
It sure was.
I bet that was really powerful for the students to be able to meet you.
Yeah. And it's powerful still to this day, every time I tell the story, because it's just, again, back to the fact that everything can work together for good.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I keep saying that your story is so interesting. And I'm like, well, that's amazing. But that's one of the reasons why. What you're pointing to is one of the reasons why I actually do this podcast, right? We really do tend to have this idea when we look at people who've achieved success like you have, that somehow like there was this clear, shiny path that they followed to get to where they are today. And there were obvious steps that they took and it was ABC and now here we are. And so often that's not the case, right? So often people have struggled or stumbled or went on, what looked at the time like a wild goose chase. But it really is, to your point, the stuff that you learn, the life-defining moments that you have in those experiences, right? That gets you to where you are ultimately, and whenever we're having this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other thing that I find is that people often have sort of a couple of examples, one or two moments in life where somebody has done something really unexpectedly kind. that opened a door or created a new path or shaped their perspective in some way. And I wonder if there are any examples of that that you could share with us.
People being kind, this is a bit of a common thread within my journey. I'm a product of kindness, I like to say, because when you're building a brand, no one knows the name, right? Like, they're kind for even listening, for even just taking a moment and just even hearing what you have to say and allowing you the opportunity to tell them about what you got. And then from the buy it, versus buying all of the things that they've been marketed, all the things they've seen over the years. To me, that's, I look at all my customers, it's like very kind. And I know I bring up Nikki Porsche, who's the founder of Buy From a Black Woman. She has an initiative to make and really uphold and advocate for Black women business owners to have access to funding, have access to retail distribution outlets. And so I remember signing up for her organization online, and that she had this community, she'd be giving resources, things like that, information. And I was like, man, I really like this. I didn't think anything of it. I was like, this is like an online community. And then she gets this partnership with H&M, and she's like, apply for this to be a part of this Inspire tour we're doing, and your products can be sold and H&M for this pop-up that they're doing. And I applied and we got it. And she has dedicated her life, because Black women only get 0.006% of funding in the venture capital world. That's not even 1%. A lot of times, because of the wealth gap, that means that there's a gap in marketing, there's a gap in everything that goes along with that. And for her to strike up this partnership with this major retailer, and give us that opportunity has just been a game changer in our business. We've reached a lot of influencers through the Buy From a Black Woman Network. She just fights for us in ways that I'm just like, where are you from? Like, heaven? Like, it's just so kind, because she could do anything. She's brilliant. She's a veteran. She could be doing anything, but she decides to do this work. And to me, that's kind. And she's doing it knowing that these businesses have great profit margins and can change the dynamic of a community. But she's always making sure we get our rightful compensation and all that kind of stuff for different things. And I just think she's amazingly kind, and her work.
Sounds like an amazing organization she's built. We'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes as well. Yeah. Wow. Different opportunities pop up all over the place, huh?
Yeah, especially as you align yourself with folks who are who got missions in mind, who are on a mission. They're like, we on a mission. And those are the people that I like to tag along, listen to, comment on social media, just be engaged with.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been a really interesting journey. And frankly, it sounds like it's been filled with people like that. You tend to find what you're looking for in people.
Attract, yes.
You attract it, you call it in.
And also it's a boomerang effect, where you also, you're doing it to others and for others, and just because it doesn't come back from that particular person, it doesn't mean that the boomerang doesn't come back.
Yeah. So one last question for you. I'd like to ask all of our guests here, if you could go back and tell an earlier version of yourself, any point in time you're choosing, something from where you sit today, what would you tell yourself?
I probably just share, you're gonna thank yourself. Like, you're just gonna thank yourself. Because right now I just want to go back and tell 16-year-old Kim thank you, tell 21-year-old Kim thank you, tell 30-year-old Kim thank you. I just say you're gonna thank yourself. The patience you had to show, the risk you took, the amount of like sucking up you had to do, the strength that I needed to stand on where I'm at now was from the strength that I had at that earlier point in my life. So that's why I would probably just say, you're going to thank yourself.
That's great. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing a piece of your story. I can't wait to see what comes next.
Absolutely. We got so much up next, too. Please stay tuned.
Yes. Good. Stay tuned.
That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show and found something to support you wherever you are on your own journey. Don't forget to subscribe where you listen to your podcasts and head over to idtellmyself.com to sign up for updates. Until next time, take care.